Welcome to the SOAP Bible Study video series from Oak Tree Community Church in South Bend, Indiana. We are on week two of two in this short book called the Song of Songs or the Song of Solomon.
Yeah, exactly.
Every teenager's favorite.
Yeah, it is.
Favorite book to read.
Yeah. So I really like your description from last week and used a couple descriptions in there. It's, you know, sometimes we talk about the King of Kings, you know, referring to Jesus. So you have a group of kings, but even within that how elite that is, one stands above, right?
Yeah.
King of Kings. And then we also have, you know, certainly there's some places that are holy,
yep.
But we also have the Holy of Holies, right?
Yep.
And it's that whole double noun,
yep.
Setting it aside.
Yep.
So we have Song of Songs.
Yeah, it's the exact same construction.
Yeah, so we have all these songs, but this one is a little bit higher, a little bit better.
Something or about a lot better. This, yeah.
Yeah.
And so what's interesting is that, assuming Solomon wrote it, which I think I think it's clear that
seems
he
like
did.
Yeah.
According to 1 Kings chapter 4, he wrote like thousands of proverbs and songs,
right.
And books and all this stuff. So it could be that this is the one that maybe he thought was
he liked the best.
His magnum opus type thing.
Yeah. So we need to remember that this is a song, and it's kind of in that form.
Mm-hmm.
You even called it a play.
Yeah, almost like, you know, you've got acts and characters and everything. It's a production, whether it's a song or a play or something. It's imaginative, and yet it's telling a real story, I think, that actually happened.
Yeah. And you talked last week. We're not in here very often. I don't think I've ever heard you quote scripture from this. It's not a place where we generally go. In fact, a lot of pastors just ignore it, right? Just leave it alone.
Yep.
And we talked last week, it's not the easiest passage to go through. But we found out last week, we should still interpret it the exact same way we interpret everything else.
Yeah.
So if we go through it with a literal, historical, grammatical philosophy in there, it does make sense.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean,
we can work our way through it.
Yeah, stuff like, you know, and then chapter 4 here says, your neck is like the Tower of David. What? I mean, it's like, come on, it's like. It's the same. I mean, he's describing something based on something else he knows.
Right.
It's got shields on it. What is that? You know, probably a really nice necklace or a choker or something. You know, it's not that hard.
Right.
You know, to figure out.
Right.
It's obviously very picturesque. It's it's erotic. It's you know, word plays and all sorts of things. And there are euphemisms, I believe, throughout as well, because it's not meant to be a graphic. You know, I mean, it is graphic, and yet it's not meant to be overly graphic.
Yeah.
So there are euphemisms.
Well, and like we talked, the purpose of this book is to show the love that a man and woman have for each other.
Yeah.
And you made a great point that, you know, throughout the Bible, there's so many times where sex is shown in not the best light.
Yeah.
God made sex,
right?
So it makes sense that we have a place that we can go to in the Bible to see what that should look like.
Yeah.
And that seems like that's what this is.
Yep.
So the song has a couple principal characters. There's King Solomon, or, you know, the male in there. There's a female in there. Was it the Shulamite woman?
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, she needs somebody to talk to. So we have some maidens.
Whole group of girls.
Yeah, we have a group of girls on the side that she can say, oh, he is so great. He does this. He does that. But that's about it, right? There's not a whole lot going on here. And last week, in my mind, we kind of walked through a normal relationship.
Yeah.
You know, and what a normal relationship looks like. And it's kind of the flow that happens in here. So we saw that the two meet and there's a spark, right? But
butterflies.
But is there something more happening there? And then there was a banquet celebration, and we thought maybe this was the engagement ceremony. Now, in today's world, that doesn't make a lot of sense. But in the past world, okay, you know, these two people are going to be together. Now they really start the dating or getting to know each other.
Especially if he's royalty.
Yeah.
You know, whether he's already king or whether he is, you know, going to be king or, you know, whatever. You know, he became king. Solomon became king, you know, right around 20 years old. So he's still a young man that would fit perfectly with this, even if he was already king.
Yeah. Then there's a line that actually shows up a number of times. It says, do not arouse love until it pleases.
Yeah.
Right? In other words, give it time.
Yeah.
This needs to take time. And in fact, it gets parroted a number of times of, hey, it's a relationship. Let it take its own path.
So there's that. The other side of that, and this is great for youth ministry. It's great for, you know, engaged couples or whatever. Don't do anything to push that. You know, don't. I love the concept. Don't awaken love before it's time, before it's due.
Right.
Right. You keep your hands off each other. You know, that sort of thing.
Well, yeah.
Yep. You know, so there's both the warning side of things and the, you know, let it grow side of things.
Yep. Yep. So then, like in every relationship, there's trouble.
Yep.
Sometimes the trouble can come internally. Sometimes it can come externally. And they were in a vineyard, and there were foxes in the vineyard. And you got to get rid of the foxes,
yep,
of course, in there. Love is lost. You know, the love goes away. Love is found again. Then, you know, then we have the marriage ceremony. We have the wedding night, the king proclaims his love. So now they're married, and we ended last week with her trying to figure out how to keep her love,
yeah,
right? And she was sleeping and had a dream, you know, trying to figure out, and she dreams of losing him.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this week we start with they're in the garden again, and he says to her that she's unique and beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And those are words that, you know, she was really longing to hear. And they return back to the vineyards, and I kept waiting for something to go wrong there, but it seemed like everything was going good.
Yeah.
Everything was good in these vineyards.
I think this is one of those euphemisms. As you read through the song here, the vineyard concept, the vineyard motif, seems to come either right at the same time, just before, just after these descriptions of body parts, as they're exploring each other's bodies or whatever.
Yeah.
So coming into the vineyard is almost like the safe space, whether it's a physical vineyard or it's just that's where they explore each other, that is their place. So I love that there's a
but it does always, from that standpoint, there's generally always something intimate happening when they're at the vineyard.
When they're at the vineyard, right?
Sleep under the apple tree, awakening.
Right. The palm tree's another one. You know, you're like a palm tree. I'm going to climb the palm tree. Well, what do you think that? You know? Yeah. Yeah, I mean, so there are some of these euphemisms in here. Yep. But there's also, I think this is really cool. I mean, you've been married a long time. I've been married a long time. You get your own special language, right?
Right.
When you're talking with your wife, there are things that you say that you guys know what you're talking about, and you know,
you don't have to expand on them.
Yeah, you don't hope that nobody else picks up on it, or you know, at least you know, usually because you have kids around and you're, you know, that type of thing. They have their own love language in here. Now, you know, I'm not like, you know, Gary Chapman's five love languages, but they have their own. They have the ways that they refer to each other, the way they talk to each other, and I just think that that's sort of, I mean, we still do it today.
Yeah.
Right? I think it's cool that you have that in here.
Yeah. And he continues to talk, you know, about her, and she is definitely happy. And then she is really happy that she's still desired, too.
Yeah.
You know, let's go to the vineyard again, the place that they seem to be with each other, maybe away from everybody else, too, or, you know, not necessarily a vacation.
But, right.
And interesting.
And you know, today, you know, someone's vineyard, you know, could be just their bedroom, could be just their, you know, weekend getaway. I mean, it doesn't have to be a lot of money. It doesn't have to, right?
Yep.
But yeah, you know, chapter 7, verse 10, I am my beloved's. And so far we've seen a couple of times, I am my beloved's and my beloved is mine. You know that?
Yeah.
But here it's, I am my beloved's and he desires me. He's still enamored with her.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
And she doesn't say it, but exactly.
Yeah, you get the impression that's what she's looking for.
Yep.
That's what she wants.
Yep.
Then in chapter 8, seems to be a recap. A lot of recap.
Yep.
There is some new information in there, but so look at it from that standpoint. And her love and want for him increases over time.
Yeah.
Right. So there's not a decrease. There's an increase there. And then I don't mean to make this sound odd, but but she wants to be his most valuable possession.
Yeah.
And in today's world, that doesn't sound right at all.
Right.
But she wants to be wanted. She wants to be adored. She wants to be looked at. She wants to be valuable to him.
Yep.
And that's kind of a, you know, reading it in the scripture, there doesn't seem to be any of the bad connotations,
right,
you know, that we pick up with that.
Now. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, you want to be wanted.
Yeah. Also says she's a wall.
Yeah.
And one of those, you know, you got to stop and think, that's maybe not the description I would use for a female. But if you go to what attributes does a wall have, I think providing security, being safe, those types of things are what I came up with.
Yeah. Well, you have to look at the opposite, because in that context in chapter 8, talking to her brother, and it's almost like you said, it's a recap. So we're going back in time. You know, we have a little sister. She has no breasts. She's not mature yet. You know, right. We hope that she's going to be a wall. If she's a wall, then things are going to be good. Well, she comes to maturity, and if she proves to be a wall, well, what's the contrast? A door.
Yeah.
You don't want a girl that's a door, right? You know, if you got to pick
in one. In and out, people leave it. Yeah.
Yeah, right? Yeah. So she, when she met him and she was mature and she was, you know, prime age for marriage and everything, she still had her virginity intact. She still had all of these things. She had proven herself to be a wall instead of just a revolving door, you know, of guys. And so that's...
So should we be taking... I mean, obviously we should be taking this literally.
Yeah.
So should we be taking it as this is Solomon's vineyard?
So...
Yeah. Right. Well, so where I'm going with this is one of the commentaries went so far as this is Solomon's vineyard, and maybe the girl's brother was running the vineyard.
Yep.
And so she would have been there. Maybe the first time they met, Solomon was asleep under an apple tree. Yep. They met and things kind of progressed from there.
Yeah, that's one legitimate way to look at it. Another way to look at it is that if this maybe started as a political marriage, maybe we, you know, because sometimes they can start that way, mm-hmm. and not, you know, maybe she did cost 1,000 shekels as part of the
purchased her and
as part of the alliance or the contract, and then it grew into love or something. So there's a couple of different ways to look at it.
Okay, so basically that's the end of Song of Songs.
Yeah.
Now you have one more reading in here, and we're actually moving over to Proverbs.
Yeah.
What's that all about?
Well, you know, we had an extra day. And so, no.
I knew that was one of it. But
now, so Solomon wrote 3 of the books here in the wisdom section.
Right.
So Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Songs. And I think that we talked that some people see Song of Songs as maybe his first one when he's young, Proverbs when he's in the prime of his life, his wisdom. And then Ecclesiastes at the end of his life, looking back, saying, "Now I know why, you know, it all works together, right?"
Yeah.
In fact, Ecclesiastes 12, I think, talks about, you know, your body breaking down, your eye, the windows don't see as well as they used to, you know, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Well, the end of Proverbs 31, is this description of. It depends on your Bible, right? The NET says the wife of noble character. Some say the virtuous woman, you know, whatever. And I thought, you know what? After reading through Song of Songs, I mean, it's all lovey-dovey and they're crawling over each other and all this other stuff. We need to balance it out. Actually, this provides the balance, because marriage, I mean, a lot of times marriage starts with, like, the Song of Songs, right?
Right.
You know, it's all, you know, everybody's all over each other. But at some point, as that love grows deeper and matures, even if it doesn't, you've got life that's not the whole marriage. There isn't a whole nother aspect of marriage that is responsibility and maturity and decision-making.
So as Proverbs being later, maybe this is the next step or that he saw.
Yeah.
So any significance to this being the end of Proverbs? So Proverbs has 31 chapters, right?
Yeah.
And we're in the 31st chapter, and in fact we skipped like the first 9 verses, so we're in the latter part of it.
Yeah. And it's really, you know, we don't know who wrote it necessarily. The last couple of chapters of Proverbs, you know, we don't know if they're they're Solomon's. We don't know if they were, you know, starting with chapter about 25 or so, it says King Hezekiah's men collected some of Solomon's Proverbs. So even that's just a compilation. It's not like Solomon set this stuff down. You know, as you read through, I use Proverbs 31 when I do pre-marriage counseling as an assignment. I say, read through this and tell me who, what kind of description does this, is this a free independent woman who can do anything she wants to? Is she a slave, you know, barefoot pregnant in the kitchen? Is she, you know, where, how do you see her interacting with her husband, without her husband, doing business, raising children, teaching, sewing, selling? Where do you put that into today's society?
Yeah, that's a great thing, because when I read it, I see them definitely as a team, but also they're both very independent.
Yeah.
And she is very independent. She's making her own money. She's making her own financial decisions. I mean, things that you wouldn't equate to a couple thousand years ago,
or
even more than a couple thousand years ago.
And I think that's a huge point, because most people think, well, in Bible times, women were property and they were looked down on and they were basically slaves. Like, I'm not seeing that in here.
She earned her own money. She bought a field, which, wait, you're not supposed to be able to buy anything.
Right.
She planted a vineyard.
Yep. She makes things and sells them. She teaches her children. She does, you know, and it's not that, you know, husband is off doing, you know, just, you know, deadbeat, or he's not doing anything. They're, like you said, team is an important thing. It's not that she's just doing all this stuff on her own. She's doing all this stuff in conjunction with their with plans for their home.
Right. Well, and even she's wise enough to save money. So she has money, which is a great indication. And I get it, right? King Solomon's wife probably has a lot of money.
Well, she probably wasn't out doing business either, necessarily.
Well, but she had to manage a household, and that meant other women within there. It did say that she was getting up early, going far to find food. Versus local. That never made sense to me. And then one time I was listening to somebody, and the lady of the household would get up to go pick peppers along the stream. And if you walked farther, the peppers got bigger, right?
Because everybody's people, doing these, right?
So if you came back with big peppers, you liked your husband better, right? Or, you know, you felt that it was worthwhile enough, you know, for the food. And it seemed, I kind of put those two together in there. Yeah, it's kind of interesting. But I got to ask, okay, so we're still talking about vineyards. We're still talking about things. Do you think the woman in Proverbs is the same woman that's in Song of Songs?
I don't know. Okay. I don't know. Some people look at this as the ideal, you know, that nobody's ever going to reach. You know, did he have a specific person in mind, or was this still just, you know, Proverbs, right?
Yeah.
My favorite part of this is really verse 11. Her husband's heart has trusted her, and he does not lack the dividends. Or some translations say the heart of her husband, the heart of her husband trusts her, and he has no lack of gain.
Yeah,
you know, he trusts her implicitly. She wants to go buy a field. It's not that they never talked about buying a field, right? But she wants to go buy a field. He trusts her decision making. He trusts her negotiation skills. He trusts that she's not just, you know, wasting money and everything.
Yep.
And you know what happens? He wins.
Right.
And exactly. She knows that he trusts her. And so she doesn't do anything to betray that trust. And she wins. And when they both win, they win.
That's the comeback of the team, and they both win.
Yep.
I like the part where she goes to the gate, or she's at least talked about at the gate with all the elders there as the noble woman, and, you know, talked about in a wishful way, right? Like, well, I wish my wife was like that. That wasn't said, but it was kind of implied there.
But that's that's the thing.
Yeah. I like the last two verses. charm is deceitful. I stopped there, right? And if you think about it, people that are charming, I mean, you know, everybody likes somebody who's charming.
Right.
But usually they're sucking up to you. Right. And so there is a deceitfulness there. And beauty is fleeting. We know, the older I get, the more I know that.
Hold on a second, though, because that's what we just spent all of Song of Songs reading about, is how beautiful and how this and how that. Yeah. And every, you know,
well, everything. I think she still is beautiful.
She is, yeah. But that can't be the thing that you're right. Marriage is built on.
Yeah, exactly.
Because if it stops there, it falls right. apart because yep. beauty is fleeting.
Yeah, there's got to be more than that. Yep. But then it says, a woman who fears the Lord, she makes herself praiseworthy.
Yeah.
You know, and that's awesome. And then give her credit for what she has accomplished and let her works praise her in the city gates.
Yeah.
And I like the, you know, he's not involved. In that part, he's there. I mean, he's
yeah.
definitely involved, but she gets the credit, she gets the involvement, and it's, you know, it's them
yeah.
in there.
Yeah. It's really a fantastic passage. It's a it great is. Way to wrap up the book.
Well, I love Proverbs. That you use it in premarital counseling.
Yeah.
It's a perfect passage
yeah.
to open up the discussion.
Yep. So how do you see yourself? Where do you see yourself fitting in here? How do you see your potential wife fitting in here? You know, yeah. that type of thing.
Yeah.
How do you see yourself if you're a woman, if you're a wife or want to be a wife or something? Do you see yourself here, and what would it take to get there? If you're a married couple, maybe you need to get back to Song of Songs a little bit.
Well, and even from the man's side, are you trustworthy enough to, yep. do you trust your wife? Do you have to be involved in every single decision?
Yeah. Or make all the decisions
yeah, make
for
everything.
Her, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. There's a lot. I mean, this is called the wisdom section, Job through Song of Songs. There's yeah. a lot of wisdom in here. And yeah. we hope that you enjoyed our time through this book that, like you said, we don't usually spend a ton of time yeah. on, but also then this chapter as we finish up this week's reading in Proverbs 31. Just enjoy. Just maybe dream. Dream not just of what should be, but what could be in your own life, in your own marriage, if you're married, if you want to be married, what your marriage could look like, and what steps we all need to do to get our marriages better than they are now, right?
Yeah.
So enjoy. Hopefully you can share this with some of your friends and family, those who you think that may benefit from this. And we'll see you back here next time as we start a brand new series.